Hello, and thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center. For more information about this teaching and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. So, today is the parable of the lost sheep. Did some of you see the picture I had posted on Facebook of a little lost lamb, of a lamb? So last week, Pastor Apostle Deborah spoke about the parable of the prodigal son from Luke 15. And how many of you did your homework assignment and read the chapter? All right. Well, those of you who did, awesome. So as when we were in the office, the staff gathered as we were reviewing our parable series and who could take which parable, I asked if I could share about this one because I love baby lambs. When I was little, I lived in far West Texas, as some of you know. We lived 100 miles east of El Paso and 6 miles south of the New Mexico borderline in this little bitty town of less than 400 people. There were two stop signs in that town where the two paved roads intersected. There were mostly ranches out there, a lot of ranchers, a lot of cattle, and a lot of sheep. So we had a baby lamb one time because I want to back up here. So lamb is, it's the meat you eat, but it's also a young sheep. And I guess really to say baby lamb isn't, that's kind of redundant because a lamb is a baby. But anyway, this lamb that we had was actually a dogie lamb, not a doggy, but a dogie. It's a dogie is specifically a motherless calf or an orphaned calf. You maybe hear the phrase from a movie, you know, get along little dogies. So a dogie lamb is a lamb that doesn't have its mother. Maybe it was abandoned because the mother sheep died, or maybe because the mother lamb, the ewe, had triplets or quadruplets, and this one just couldn't keep up, and it got left behind. So this first little dogie lamb we had was one my dad found out late one night on the ranch, and it was nearly frozen. And he brought it into our house, and we bottle fed it, kept it warm. We had like this wood stove fireplace thing, kept it in a box there. I think my mom did most of it because we went to school during the day. So we had this little lamb, and she grew up. She did great. We finally transitioned her out to the backyard. When we came home from school, she would come running up to us just like a dog. We could call her, and she would come running. We named her Puff. She was all white. Her fleece was white, but also her legs, the hair on her legs and her face was white. She looked like a little cotton ball. So sheep are so sweet, and they are so innocent, so precious. And as I read the parable in Luke 15 over and over and soaked in it, there have been so many facets that I've seen. Maybe you've seen that too. But I want to share a couple of the ones that have stood out to me the most. So the prodigal son, which Apostle Deborah shared last week, is the third in a series of stories about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son that were all found. So for the parable of the lost sheep, we're going to read from Luke 15, starting in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you in the same way that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So of the different perspectives I see in this parable, the first one I'm going to talk about is the lost sheep and the shepherd, part one. So when I was talking to a friend about this parable and asked her what it meant to her, she talked about how much she loves the story of this shepherd who loves his sheep so much. And he goes after them. And he finds it, and he brings it home. And I think a lot of us relate to this perspective of the story, the shepherd who has gone after us, his lost sheep, and found us. And as I was studying for this message, I read an author who related this parable to our precious Psalm 23, where it talks about the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, this sheep, I don't think he got lost because he got irritated, frustrated, packed his bags, and ran away. I think he was probably wandering a little bit and not paying attention. And he was wandering, and next thing he knew, he was all alone. And as I studied and did some research, this author, Kenneth Bailey, wrote, my shepherd friends of Lebanon and Palestine tell me that a sheep, once it's lost, is terrified. It sits down, usually in a sheltered place, as is immediately available, and it starts shaking and bleating. Bah. When found, it is in such a state of nervous collapse that it cannot stand or be made to stand. It cannot walk or be led, nor will it respond to the shepherd's well-known call. If it is to be restored to the fold, the shepherd must carry it on its shoulders. And we've all seen the beautiful illustrations of Jesus, our great shepherd, carrying a sheep across his shoulders. So I love how Holy Spirit does things. You know, last week, Apostle Deborah shared with us the value of people, the value of the one, how important each one is. So this shepherd who has 100 sheep and one was lost, and because he valued the sheep, he searched for it, brought it home, and he celebrated its return, much like the father celebrated the return of the prodigal. Maybe you need to be reminded today of how much our amazing shepherd loves you. Maybe you don't know him yet. Maybe there's someone on the stream listening that you don't know him yet as your shepherd, who's seeking for you and he's wanting to find you. Maybe you're feeling like that lost sheep today. Maybe you've heard about him and you've never known the good shepherd as your shepherd, or maybe you've been wandering and you're hearing him call your voice and you're ready for him to pick you up and bring you home to that place, like in Psalm 23, that says where he leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus tells us he is the good shepherd. In John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This amazing God who loves us so much not only searched to find us, but he laid down his very life for us. So those of you who know me well know I don't like to leave things hanging and leave things undone. So before we go on to part two, I just want to ask everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm just going to pray over those who are feeling like that sheep. Lord Jesus, thank you that we are never too far for you, the great shepherd, to find us. I thank you that your love never gives up on us. Lord, I lift up each one today who's maybe never known you, those who've wandered and need to reconnect with you. I pray that you would fill their hearts and their minds with your peace, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do I need to use the... Yeah. All right. So with part one being about the lost sheep from the perspective of the father who so dearly wants his kids with him, let's look at part two, the lost sheep and the shepherd. It's kind of interesting, a side note, you know, sheep is a kind of funny word grammatically because you have one sheep or two sheep or 1,000 sheep, right? Sheep, sheep, sheep. Anyway, did you notice how Jesus started off this parable with a bad shepherd? A shepherd who wasn't watching his sheep, and one wandered away and got lost. And then the good shepherd searched for, found, and rescued the sheep. Jesus isn't the bad shepherd who's going to lose a sheep. He's the good shepherd. So who is the bad shepherd? Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. Luke 15 in the Passion Translation says, many dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often gathered around to listen as Jesus taught the people. So I want to point out here that some people indicate that some of these sinners weren't necessarily horrific sinners, but they weren't following the Jewish hand washing laws or the ceremonial eating laws, so they were considered sinners. So this raised concerns with the Jewish religious leaders and experts of the law. Indignant, they grumbled and complained, saying, "Look at how this man associates with all these notorious sinners and welcomes them all to come to him." In response, Jesus gave them this illustration. In response to the complaining of those religious leaders, Jesus told this story. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them." I see Jesus looking right at them. You. He's referring to those religious leaders as shepherds. These religious leaders would have known or should have known the scriptures, the part we consider our Old Testament, the prophets. So let's go look at Ezekiel 34. It says, "Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You've not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost." Skipping down to verse 6, "No one has gone to search for them." Verse 7, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and you left them. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they scattered, and I will bring them home." I don't think any of us here are scribes and Pharisees. But many of us have walked with our Savior for a long time. And Jesus has told us in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So part two is the perspective of what are we going to do about the lost around us. I love it, the way Holy Spirit orchestrates things. Just, I hadn't even listened or looked at what songs we were singing today until early this morning, and just, this is his heart. This is his heart, church. This is the heart for us today. See, I was excited about giving a message about the lost sheep that was found and coming back to him. And I didn't want to give a hard word, but I think this is what I hear him saying. So in John 4, Jesus told his disciples that his food, his nourishment, is to do the will of the one who sent him and to finish his work. We are to be like Jesus. We are to be the shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. I was reminded of a situation that happened a few years ago when Becca got her license, and we were super excited, you know, yay, we finally got, like, the two times I've ever been happy to go to Secretary of State, you know, was with both kids to get their licenses. So we were super excited, and we did the little thing, you know, where you save your spot in line, and so we got the text, and it said, you know, you've got this is your time and all that. So we went and got ice cream, right? Was it ice cream or coffee or something? And we're just hanging out. And so we showed up right at the time and pulled up with, you know, like plenty of extra time as far as our appointment time. And so I sat in the car and I finished sending a text. And I'm just going to read this. This is what I journaled after our little experience. Becca went into Secretary of State and came right back. "The door is locked," she said, frustrated. "Well, that's okay," I assured her. "They're expecting us." They've been texting us all afternoon. You've got this many minutes, this many minutes, this many minutes. We'll just go knock on that door. They'll let us in. And so we did. I saw a room full of people through the glass doors, you know, and they were all waiting. So I pulled on the door, thinking maybe Becca hadn't tried it already, and it was locked. Well, that was okay. I tapped on the glass door, and a man at the back of the room got up, and he came to the door. And then he stopped. Now, the Secretary of State lady behind the counter, way down at the front of the room, said something to him. And then he came over and let us in. And the lady shouted, "You can't come in here. We're closed." And I assured her, "It was okay. You're expecting us. You have been sending me text messages all afternoon." "Yes," she hollered across this room, probably the size of this sanctuary. "But we also sent you a message which said you have to be here before 5 o'clock. Well, we didn't get that message, did we? In the middle of all these other text messages, "We'll see you in this many minutes," there was this one long, super long message that said, "You have to be here by 5 o'clock. We were pretty disappointed. I mean, we have been waiting for this day. Where was grace? That Secretary of State lady wasn't very gracious to us. But see, they gave us very explicit instructions to follow. And when the instructions and what needed to be done were right there, but we just hadn't followed it. We hadn't read it. And then as I was driving home, I saw in my mind's eye a cold, closed, locked door. And all those people, and they were waiting inside. And then I was reminded of another door, an eternal door. And I'm on the inside, but for some people, there may come that day when they're on the other side of that door. So let's go back. Let's look at Luke 15, verse 5. "And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it, the sheep, home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.'" So I think there's a burden even in finding, in carrying, and caring for the lost sheep. See, the picture I have in my mind is not just a shepherd who finds the sheep, "Oh my gosh, I found you," and then celebrates at the celebration. I read that saying he's joyfully carrying the sheep home. But it says it's a sheep, not a lamb. A sheep is a grown-up sheep, an adult sheep, and those can range anywhere, maybe 100, but more like 150 to 175 pounds. Some of the bigger ones can be 250 pounds for a ewe, a mother sheep, to 300 pounds. So I'm picturing a shepherd who has picked up a sheep, probably in the dark, carrying this big old wet, smelly thing through the rocks and the brush, over the hills, joyfully, because he found the lost sheep. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his field." That's his heart. That's what he was releasing all morning. The nations, the lost, they're coming. But we need the workers. Yes. We need the workers. Maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you're like, "How can I do one more thing?" Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're weary and worn out, I encourage you, let's pray. Seek him. Find the rest that he gives. Now, I want to tell you that this message was not intended to be a pep rally for the upcoming outreach, but there's one coming, and this wasn't intended to be a, we need more volunteers, please volunteer. But if that's what the Lord's putting on your heart, please do. He reminded me, though, of this word from Ivan Roman just a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, Barbara, for transcribing it for me. I'm going to read part of it now. Ivan said, I'm seeing a rush of young families. I'm seeing young families that are rushing into the church. Young families that are looking for fathers and mothers. Are we ready? Another quirky thing about me is I like to be ready. I'm not always ready with everything. Like last night, Beck and Levi brought wings over for dinner, and I hadn't gotten the table cleared off, had my computer and all that. But I made sure when we did set the table, we didn't just everybody have one napkin. There were lots of napkins because, you know, when you eat wings, right? See, it is going to take work when they come, but we can do it because we can do all things through Jesus who strengthens us, right? And he is entrusting those sheep to us. Sorry. So I thought that was the end of this message, parts one and two. And then Holy Spirit had me look at this parable again in Matthew. So let's look now at part three, the lost sheep and the shepherd. And we're going to start in Matthew 18, verse 1, so we get the backstory like John tells us. Let's get that context. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So many times when I read this passage, I just stop there. I'm like, that is so beautiful. You know, the little child, Jesus saying, bring the child to me. He's talking about just the beauty of humility and being humble. And I don't think, probably because there's a gap in my Bible, you know, in the little subheading, I don't just like keep reading. But if you keep reading, the very next verse, Jesus says, and if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Then Jesus talks about the sorrow that awaits the world and temptations. And then starting in verse 10, Jesus says, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice more over the one, over it, more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. And considering the word the Lord spoke to us through Ivan, I hear Holy Spirit prompting us to be prepared to receive young families, to be prepared in Freedom Kids and in all the other ways of ministering that you don't see. And after Holy Spirit last week had me look at Matthew 18 and how the lost sheep and so much seem to be related even to children, it really hit home for me last Sunday. It actually started last Saturday night. I got an alert on my phone about an accident that had happened near me and heard that a little girl was killed crossing the street near my home. And as I drove past that area on Sunday morning, I was wrecked at the thought of this life that ended so soon. And then we were in need of more children's workers on Sunday. What a great problem to have. And I realize, are we ready for the rush of young families that Ivan prophesied is coming? So in John 4, where Jesus explained, this is at the end of the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. He said, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits when both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest." Worship team, do y'all want to start heading on up? Church, I want to be ready. And I look around at faces who love and give and serve. And I believe it's your heart to be ready too. So today, are you the lost sheep who's never known the shepherd? Or are you the sheep who knows the shepherd, but you've been wandering a bit, a little here, a little here? And maybe today you're finding yourself not sure where you are. Maybe there have been some cares of this world that have been crowding out your relationship with the Father. Maybe there's been stress and things of this life, fun things that have just distracted you. Maybe you need to be still and allow your shepherd to connect you with once again as he carries you and comforts you. Or maybe today he's speaking to you as a shepherd. Maybe you're feeling the call to be more bold in your testimony. Maybe you're already so busy. There's already so much you're doing. How can I do one more thing? I feel sometimes, but I think, yeah, I think I could make energy for one more. Maybe we need to be more bold to pursue, to seek, and carry home the lost sheep. So, Ivan Roman ended his prophetic declaration with a prayer, and I just want to pray this over us today. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would begin to awaken within the heart of the people in this room, Lord, a passion to hear your voice. So today, if you are want to have some time to transact with the Lord while the worship team plays, I want to invite you to come up. Whatever the situation is, just come on up. If you want me to pray for you, I'd be happy to, but if you want to just spend time with him, that's great too. And if you want to stay where you are, I understand. So let's worship.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center. For more teachings and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.